Audio Scriptures International. Levina and I served with PRM from 1977 to 1989. Before retiring as a Reformed Church in America missionary, we had been loaned to PRM. The RCA provided our salary, housing, and health insurance. As director of PRM's World Cassette Outreach Program, we raised donor support to fund the ministry and the travel involved. As the WCO ministry grew, it was included in the PRM budget, with gifts designated for WCO now being included in the total support for PRM's larger ministry. It was a good arrangement, and we were happy with it, grateful to God and to all the faithful partners who were praying for the ministry and supporting it with their gifts. After we retired as RCA missionaries, PRM provided our housing, medical insurance, a modest stipend, and funds for the WCO ministry. Again, we praised God and knew that we were favored and blessed. We thrilled at what God was doing through the World Cassette Outreach Program. The work had grown to where we had national centers in Bangalore, India, Singapore, and Indonesia. All were staffed by nationals we had trained and equipped for fruitful cassette ministries. In each location, the primary focus was on recording translated scriptures and making them available to individuals, churches, and other ministries. The number of New Testament recordings continued to grow. Chanturbani in Bangladesh. In India, the New Testament was being recorded in some 50 different languages, while in Bangladesh, Albert and Mindy Hamstra were heading up a new cassette ministry. Here the program was called the Chanturbani Audio Ministry, the Voice of Peace. Al trained national leaders how to record the Bible in their own languages while working closely with the Bangladesh Bible Society. He worked diligently to lay a solid foundation for work that would continue long after he and Mindy moved on to larger responsibilities with their sending agency, the Christian Reformed Church. The Lord was truly blessing the work in Bangladesh. I personally once met with a pastor who had come in from a remote area to share with us how God was leading him and his people in their outreach ministry. He reported that they were using 15 cassette players, and that well over 100 people had already come to Christ and been baptized. He was full of the joy of the Lord and wanted to say, "Thank you for what you are helping us to do because of the cassette players and recordings that you have given to us." As I listened to his testimony, I wish that each of our donor partners could have been there. They too would have been praising the Lord. It was our donors who had made it all possible, and we thank God for them, as well as for his wonderful grace that made the harvest a reality. The ministry in and from Singapore. The World Cassette Outreach Program in Singapore was also flourishing. A small local board of directors was supervising the ministry, and a national was being trained to head up the work. When my son Paul took up residence in Singapore, he put in a professional quality recording studio, loaded his own cassettes into the recorders, and helped us expand the space available for the ministry. He was also able to put in a new recording studio in Bangladesh, with the result that the quality of the recordings was vastly improved. A number of important Chinese language recordings were made in the new Singapore studio, including recordings in Mandarin, Fuchao, Hokkien, Hakka, and others. Dorothy Chen recorded the entire Bible in Mandarin. Many congregations in Singapore were blessed by hearing this beautiful recording through daily Bible listening programs. Today, multitudes of people in China are hearing this recording over the radio through a ministry operating out of Beijing. And most recently, ASI has made the recording available to multitudes of people via the Internet, where they can download it at their leisure and without charge. Paul traveled extensively from Singapore to various other locations to supervise field recordings and the distribution of cassettes. He visited East Malaysia to assist and encourage Joseph Chua, the young man about whom I wrote earlier. Malaysia was the country with those famous longhouses where several closely related families lived together under one extended roof. Levine and I had once gone there ourselves and were enthralled. We found that these longhouses were wonderful places to reach extended families with Bible listening programs. Joseph was able to record the New Testament in 8 different languages during his 2 years in East Malaysia. The final editing and initial duplicating of cassettes in those languages was done at the WCO office in Singapore. Earlier, Levine and I had initiated a program in Indonesia where we had trained Joseph in the art of making good recordings of the scriptures in new languages. Since there were already some existing recording studios there, we were able to rent these rather than build new studios ourselves. When we were ready to record a new language, we would engage a national speaker to read the entire New Testament while we carefully and patiently did the recording. Together, we were able to record the entire New Testament in the Javanese language as well as in a number of other languages, such as Bahasa Indonesian, Bali, Toraja, and others. Levine and I personally delivered the first albums of the Toraja New Testament to people on the island of Sulawesi. I shall never forget the time we stepped out of the taxi onto the street where many people were passing by and started playing one of these Toraja language cassettes. We couldn't understand it ourselves, but they could. With great excitement, they began to exclaim with joy and surprise, "That's my language, that's my language, that's Toraja." Their joy increased our own as we realized that many people there would soon be listening to the Word of God in their own language, most of them for the very first time. We had seen this kind of response to the cassette many times over, but it never ceased to make us want to give thanks and praise to God for letting us help make it happen. An experience from West Africa. Once in West Africa, Levine and I had been staying in a youth hostel where we regularly ate with the young people there. After several days of eating fish and boiled vegetables twice a day, we said, "Let's see if we can find a place where we can find a cup of coffee or tea and a piece of bread." After walking about a third of a mile, we came to a coffee shop. The place was empty and Spartan. The wooden floors were adorned with nothing more than some simple wooden tables with straight-back, locally made chairs. From somewhere in the back of the shop, a young man came to take our order. As he made his way to our table, we took out our cassette player and began to play one of the messages that we had recorded just the day before. "I wish you could have been there." This young fellow stood ramrod straight and exclaimed in pidgin English, "That's my language! That's my language!" For the next 12 minutes, the entire length of the tape, he stood there and listened before asking for our order. We were thrilled to wait. Over and over again, we found that the lowly cassette is a wonderful and powerful medium to tell the good news about Jesus Christ in any language. I have seen it too frequently not to be totally convinced. Wonderful years for Levina and me. Each year, we went out to some distant mission field for a period of 3 to 7 months. Once we extended our tour to more than a year, we concluded, however, that this was much too long to be living out of a suitcase. 3 to 5 months was just about right. The work we had been doing was richly blessed by the Lord. Responsible national organizations had been founded to carry out cassette ministries. National workers were being trained. Translated scriptures were being put on cassettes in many different languages. We had developed a good relationship with the various national Bible societies. Our son Paul had joined the ministry and was more than able to succeed me as director of the World Cassette Outreach Program. People leaving their homelands. While all of this was taking shape, Levine and I began asking important questions. Each time we returned from overseas to our home in California, we could see the tremendous changes taking place in our own country. We began to ask ourselves, where are all these new people coming from? We soon observed that many of them were speaking the same languages in which we had been recording the scriptures overseas. The Lord began speaking to us. We saw how important it was that churches and individuals reach out with the love of Christ to these new neighbors, the stranger within our midst, and we wanted to do something about it. We began by doing some research. We found that more than 80 different languages were being spoken in the city of Bakersfield. In the Los Angeles School District, children were coming from homes representing more than 200 different languages. In one large city after another, the picture was the same. But it wasn't just a California phenomenon. Similar reports were available from Texas, Florida, New York, Michigan, and also from Canada. Our hearts were burdened. We wanted to find a way to make our overseas scripture recordings readily available for outreach and teaching ministries in the new mission field, taking shape in our own country. I began to share my vision and burden with the people of PRM, since I was still working under their auspices. I wanted them to take up the challenge of being a resource center to provide scriptures and audio for people in the U.S., as well as for people in other countries. Recordings which were made overseas could be brought over to the U.S. for use by local ministries, churches, and individuals. This would enable our new neighbors to hear God's word in their mother tongues. This kind of ministry was so very much needed. It was also so very doable. Audio Scriptures International is born. But, to my regret, PRM chose not to embrace my vision. They had large commitments to their work in Africa at that time, and adding another component and challenge just didn't strike fire with them. As I saw the lost multitudes of foreigners in our own backyard, I became increasingly distressed. I consulted with various friends and other Christian leaders, but found no resolution to the problem. Finally, one evening, I called Les Law in Michigan. Les was not only a good friend of many years, but he was also the chairman of the PRM board. He explained that PRM was currently not in a position to take up the challenge I had given them. However, he encouraged me to form my own organization to become the resource center for audio scriptures in all those languages being recorded overseas. He said, "We can still be friends and help and encourage each other." With these and other words, I was greatly encouraged and emboldened to move ahead. Within days, the Lord's leading became very apparent. Three people confirmed my decision that the founding of Audio Scriptures International was of the Lord. The first confirmation came just a few days later, as Levan and I were planning to leave for our next overseas tour. I was sitting in the office when the phone rang. The person on the other end of the line was a total stranger to me. He said, "My name is Bernie Korselman. I've been carrying a card with your name on it in my billfold for 2 years. Your friend Cecil Martins, pastor of the First Reformed Church in Orange City, Iowa, gave me your name and phone number and urged me to call you. Today, I said, is as good a day as any, so here I am talking to you. Can you join me for lunch?" I said, "I think so, but let me first call my wife." "What's your number?" "I'll call you right back." Levina gave me her thumbs up, and the first thing I knew, my friend Bernie and I were enjoying a leisurely 2-hour conversation in a quiet restaurant booth. I discovered that Bernie was a brilliant retired attorney who loved the Lord with all his heart. And when I shared with him about the possibility of founding a new organization, he encouraged me to go ahead. He promised to help with any questions I might have and assured me it wasn't that difficult. The second confirmation came from an old and trusted friend who had long supported our ministry. When we left for India a couple days after my conversation with Mr. Korselman, Franklin Keith was with us. In India, we spoke frequently about the possibility of forming Audio Scriptures International. Frank was strongly supportive and encouraged me to do it. One evening, he said, "I'll put in $25,000 so that you can get started and not have to worry immediately about funds." 2 nights later, sitting on a small outside veranda on the second floor of the little flat where we were staying, Frank said, "I've been thinking about the new organization you'll be starting. I will extend my contribution for 2 years, making it a total of $50,000. The third individual who influenced my decision to found ASI was another dear friend and partner, William Ackerman, who had recently retired from his long-held position as International Director of the World Home Bible League. During his time with the Bible League, Ackerman had often greatly encouraged us. Under his leadership, the Bible League had made 2 generous grants to help our ministry with World Cassette Outreach of India. And when I called him by phone, he strongly supported the need for a resource center and urged me to move ahead with it. The encouragement of these three men confirmed my decision to found a new organization. Audio Scriptures International in California was organized as a nonprofit 501c3 organization in 1989. Alan Burwell became president of the board of directors. Bernie Carselman and Frank Keefe both served on the board as directors. I was the president, and Donna Sweet, who had so ably served as my part-time secretary when Levine and I were often gone overseas, served as ASI's first secretary. Our office was located in very small rented facilities in the city of Rancho Bernardo, just north of San Diego. The new work had begun. We began with cassette masters for 10 New Testament recordings from India. We soon grew out of our two-room facility and moved to a nearby but slightly larger, more spacious office set up with additional rooms. A small professional quality recording studio was built. Requests for tapes began coming in. Our hearts were full of thanks and praise to God. We had no idea at that time how large this ministry was to become. Very soon after ASI was operational, the phone began to ring. People were wondering if we had the New Testament in Hmong. Others asked for New Testaments in Lao, Vietnamese, Khmer, Mien, and other languages. Each time we said, "No, we don't have it. We'll see if anyone has recorded it. If not, we'll do what we can to see to it that it gets recorded." In each of these cases, no one had yet done it. We arranged to record these ourselves, or sponsored their recordings by others. With these and other recordings, the number of languages in which we had audio scriptures began to grow. Masters of recordings done in the overseas centers kept coming to us for ASI's duplication and distribution. We could hardly imagine how quickly we would have New Testaments in some 200 languages ready for distribution from our resource center in California. In addition, we would have available individual Gospels, the Psalms, and other books available in audio in another 125 languages. We praised God for His faithful provision to make the ministry possible. All was financed by donor partners, individuals, churches, Sunday schools, young people's and women's groups. Sometimes special gifts from foundations came at just the moment of greatest need. We recognized God's faithfulness and gave Him thanks. Very soon after ASI was formed, my son Mark and his wife Sandy and their small family moved from Michigan to California to join the ministry. Mark and Sandy both had missionary experience in Nigeria with the Christian Reformed Church. Sandy had been an assistant to the head of the CRC mission there. Mark was one of their skilled missionary pilots. Now they would serve the Lord in an entirely new venture. Mark brought young energy and vision to the task. He was good with computers and technology of every kind, and would eventually design an entirely new kind of listening device to be identified as the Talking Bible. After a few years, Mark would take up my responsibilities to serve as president of ASI. The Portrait of Jesus cassette. But now we must get back to the story of how the expanding ministry of ASI came about. ASI was founded to become a resource center which would have scriptures available in audio format in as many languages as possible. Our goal was to ensure that individuals and churches and other ministries would have access to God's Word in whatever language was spoken by the stranger within our midst. Because the movement of peoples from their homelands to other countries was a worldwide phenomenon, requests for New Testaments on cassettes came from not only the United States, but also from Europe, Australia, Canada, and as far away as South Africa. As requests for recorded scriptures continued to increase, I came to feel that we needed some shorter scripture recordings in addition to our recordings of the entire New Testament. Specifically, I felt we needed an arrangement from the Gospels which, in one hearing, would introduce the listener to a biblical portrait of Jesus Christ and would enable the listener to understand who Jesus was and what He had done. My thinking was strongly influenced by our experience with cassettes during our earlier years in Ethiopia. There we had created oral tract-like messages in several languages. Using these cassettes, the listener was introduced in one hearing to the central truths about Jesus in such a way that he could say yes to him. The Mahjong had expressed their yes by tying a knot on a grass string. Over and over, these knotted strings came into us, indicating those who had heard and understood the message and decided to follow Jesus. Each knot represented one more person who had said from the heart, "I want to become a person of your Jesus." How could ASI provide this kind of tract-like message in all these languages for which we had entire New Testaments in audio on our shelves? I thought about it and prayed over it repeatedly. Because we were a scripture in audio ministry, I didn't think it appropriate for us to write and record messages of our own. Yet we needed something that could be used to introduce Jesus to people in a single listening session, as we had done in Ethiopia. For evangelism among unreached peoples and audio New Testament by itself was obviously very good. However, an initial, shorter presentation of the person and work of Jesus in the words of Scripture might be even better. I earnestly asked the Lord for wisdom to help us meet this need. The answer came to me with the idea that we should prepare a cassette of selected passages from the Gospels, which would give an accurate and compelling portrait of Jesus. This cassette would enable believers to share the essential truths about Jesus with people who needed to hear it in their own language in order to really understand and respond to the message of the Gospel. I took my Harmony of the Gospels off the shelf and began to select those essential passages from the four Gospels, which would connect and flow together to communicate the message most effectively. This required a great deal of time and effort as I selected and arranged and rearranged the passages until I felt we made the best arrangements possible. During that period of reflection and study, I made a long speaking tour, of which I carried with me an album of the New Testament in English. I also had a small tape player and a recorder that enabled me to put a recorded cassette on one side and a blank cassette on the other side. By doing this, I was able to take selections from the recorded New Testament and record them on the blank tape. This arrangement was technically rather crude, but was adequate for my testing purposes. Sometimes I played for my host family these portions from the Gospels which I had selected. Each time they encouraged me to pursue this endeavor. Several said, "When this project is completed, I want a copy for myself." Finally, I traveled on my tour as far east as Grove City, Pennsylvania. I preached in the East Main Presbyterian Church in the morning and spoke to the Fidelis Sunday School class afterwards. I was totally exhausted. After lunch, Elm and Bud Wilson, the people with whom I was staying, showed me to a room upstairs where I could nap. In that room, the Lord spoke to me concerning the Portrait of Jesus cassette. After a short nap, I awakened and tingled with excitement. I sensed that the Lord was speaking to me, confirming that what I was doing was right. I went downstairs and shared with Bud and Elma what I was planning. That evening, I preached again and then went to the home of Blaine and Dolores Hovis for the evening. I was late for supper, so Dolores said, "Just make yourself at home and find what you want to eat." Several minutes later, I was sitting alone eating at their dining room table. In the semi-darkness of that room, Blaine, whom I hardly knew at that time, came from their living room and placed a check for $1,000 on the table beside my plate. He said, "This will make it taste better." I could scarcely believe my eyes and ears. Immediately I sensed that this was the Lord's timing. It was confirmation of what he had been showing me earlier in the afternoon in that upstairs bedroom at Bud and Elma Wilson's. After I had finished eating, I shared all of this with Blaine. What an evening of rejoicing and thanksgiving to God! Blaine and Dolores were to become our dear friends and strong partners, encouraging us in ASI's ministry. Some months later, the first Portrait of Jesus recording was done. It fit nicely onto a single cassette. We entitled it, "The Greatest Person Who Ever Lived." The first words on the cassette asked the question posed by Jesus' disciples after he had stilled the waves of the sea: "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him. The Portrait of Jesus arrangement has proved to be very popular. Many have come to Christ through listening to it. A letter from Romania told how they had worn out their two cassettes and were now requesting two replacement tapes. They told how they had gone from house to house on the streets of their town, and how many people had repented and put their trust in Christ because of what they heard. This is but one of the many testimonials from people who have used this beautiful arrangement from the Gospels in their own language. Dr. Lloyd Ogilvy was one of those who was deeply affected by the Portrait of Jesus recording. But his experience came from recording the tape rather than listening to it. After he had recorded the Portrait of the New King James Version text, he shared with us the following moving testimony. He said, "As I read this beautiful, focused, flowing narrative, I actually felt the presence of the Master right there with me. I was gripped again by the compelling account of his life and ministry, death and resurrection. And when I read his actual words, it was as if he sounded in the ears of my heart how he had actually said them. I've known Christ for 42 years, but by the ending of that recording session, I felt I knew him better than ever before." Giving the Portrait of Jesus to others is a great way to share the gospel when traveling. We encourage everyone who travels among people whose language is foreign to them to include a few Portrait of Jesus cassettes in their hand luggage. You can give this cassette to the taxi driver, to the person who helps with your luggage, to the waitress who serves you in the restaurant, or to people almost anywhere. The Portrait of Jesus cassette enables you to leave behind a lasting witness, and it can make an eternal difference in the lives of those who listen to it. We consider it an exceptional privilege to have been used of the Lord to put together this powerful Portrait of Jesus. May he be given all the honor, glory, and praise. The Two-Pocket Album. After some time, we also felt the need for a special package that could be used effectively in international student and TESL ministries, teaching English in a second language. We came up with the idea of producing a two-pocket album, along with a printed booklet in English. This album has the Portrait of Jesus cassette in English in one pocket, and the Portrait of Jesus in the student's mother tongue in the other. The album also contains a printed copy in English of the message recorded on the tape. This arrangement is much appreciated by international students who are seeking to become more fluent in English. And while they have the tape to improve their English, they also have the opportunity to learn about Jesus in their own language. The album makes an ideal gift to students when hosting them at a Sunday meal, as a graduation gift, or on some other special occasion. Giving someone one of these albums is an ideal way to share the message of Christ in a non-threatening way. In addition, when students return to their home country, the foreign language cassette can be used to teach the essential truths about Jesus to their family and friends. Because of its exceptional usefulness, we regard the two-pocket album as a tool of choice for ministry among those who do not speak English.